Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose, where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha, and Justine has abandoned me for the lovely beaches of St. Martin on a little vacation with Crunch. So filling in with her today is the lovely host of the Celebrity Book Club podcast and friend of the show, Chelsea Devantes.
I am so thrilled to be here. I would have booked the vacation for Justine myself. I would have sent her to St. Martin so that could speak about Scandoval with you.
Yes, yes. We are talking Vanderpump Rules Reunion Part 2. And yes, when I emailed you, you swiftly emailed back and was like, I will move mountains, bitch. I will be there.
I did. I had meetings this morning and I was like, they got to move. And they were like, this is important. I was like, not as important as talking to Natasha about this.
Oh my God, I love it. So tell me, what's your relationship to Vanderpump Rules? Like, how long have you been watching?
Okay, so I was into Vanderpump Rules through Jax and Brittany making beer cheese. So the season when she was like, Mima's beer cheese.
Yes, I remember this. Mima,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, so it's like, I watched them melt the cheese. And after that, I was like, you know, I think I don't need this anymore. And I took a break.
Exited.
And then when Scandoval broke, I was like, am I going to do it? Am I going to go back in just for this? And I did something that actually, if anyone hasn't watched yet still, I highly recommend it. So my husband and I watched the last two episodes. So the finale and the episode right before it. And we were like, this is, because you know so much from the news, right? So we watched the last two episodes. We're like, this is incredible television. This is unreal.
Incredible.
Like watching Raquel get details about their sex life from her and then walking over to Katie to make a scene. Like, it was incredible. So then we went back to the beginning of the season and watched watched it backwards, kind of like knowing what was coming. And it was a multi-layered experience. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, you know, certain things. Yeah. And I've rewatched some of the episodes. I'm pathetic at this point. I'm deep in it. And I think one, it's such a good season. Two, I never realized that I needed them to be 40 to enjoy the show. So I think like before it was sort of like, oh, these like 20-year-olds ruining their lives. Now it's like 40-year-olds ruin their lives.
Oh,
y'all
are grown people.
I've pulled up. I want to see grown adults ruin their lives. Yes. I don't have to feel bad for anyone.
And I love that.
Yeah, I loved watching it back. I think it's such a good season. I was just telling you, I think it's a gift.
It is.
It's the gift to 2023.
Yes, it is the greatest thing on television. Like, it's just getting us through. I fucking love it. It's funny. I was talking with a friend last night. Like, I've been watching Vanderpump since season one. So I've been locked in with these crazies. And it used to be the show that it's like a background show. I could be folding laundry. I'm cleaning the kitchen. It's just there in the background. I have to be watching. This season, let me tell you how I'm like parked with my notebook open. I'm rewinding. I'm looking on Twitter. It's like a whole experience.
I listened to a whole interview with Ariana yesterday, like a 2-hour interview. I was like, I just got to hear her perspective, because also I will say in the Stassi era, which I know was thought of as like a good season, I'm just so happy she's gone. And this new, this season is actually what's up. And the only thing I think went wrong in this season is that the producers, in knowing that the news broke, are clearly editing the last 4 to 5 episodes towards this revelation. In doing that, I think they actually did a little bit of a disservice, and they made it seem kind of fake. Like that scene where Ken is raised from the dead walk out.
That scene is like
but it's so scripted that it's like,
that was so scripted.
Is this a retape? Like, and then I think the timeline gets weird, because the timeline is actually, you know, we end filming with them before Christmas, and then so time passes before it comes out. But the way it's portrayed is that everyone found out and told Ariana over and over and over and over. She ignored it, and then she found out. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the way it played out on television wasn't as good as the way it played out in the media.
Yeah, it's a little fishy. I listened to a podcast with, what's it called? Reality Life with Casey.
Oh yeah, she's great.
Yes. She had on one of the executive producers of the show, who's like so adamant, because he's hearing everybody being like, this can't be real, you guys must have did something, and he's so adamant that they didn't, that they didn't piece anything together.
I think watching it, it feels a little fake, but the reactions to it are what makes you know how real it is. Like, I don't believe Ariana is a good enough actress to deliver the epic monologue she gave us.
I don't think so.
Loving you.
That was raw. That was raw emotion right there.
Yeah.
It is a gift.
It is a gift.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think what's most compelling to me is that this group of people finally found their line. Like Andy pointed out, you're all cheaters.
Every last one of you.
So how does this make sense? And really, it had to be this massive web where Schwartz is involved as a cover. It has to be a 9-year relationship. She has to be friends. She has to be defending her. Like, that's how far it had to go for this group of people to find issue with it.
Right. To finally be like, you know what? I draw the line here.
Yes. I draw the line here.
Crazy. So crazy. Do you have any personal experience? I'm not saying you're involved, you don't have to put yourself in this, but with a cheating scandal of this magnitude, have you ever witnessed in college, a friend of a friend, a story? Like, have you ever seen anything like this before?
You know, I don't know how I got like this, but I am a real, like, I don't know what the word is. Like, it's not prude, but I'm like very much like, cheating is not okay. Like, I'm a hall monitor with made it clear to my friend group that I'm like not a safe space for it. I did have a friend.
Yeah, don't bring that shit here.
Like, don't bring that here. I don't think I've been in groups of people where something like this is possible, or they just know not to tell me because I'm a rat and I would like, okay, I will tell you one thing. So, you know, I came up in improv and comedy for 10 years, doing like live theater. And in that community, people who are not my close friends, just people I know from doing comedy, the whole town, the whole community knew that this one guy was cheating on his wife, his pregnant wife. And everybody knew, like, the secret had gone out. So every single person but the pregnant wife knew he was cheating. And I was like, I got to write her a letter. I don't know this woman. I'm not involved at all. I was like, somebody has to, because the whole town knows.
To somebody.
Like, if it was small and contained, okay, it's none of my business. I was like, the whole city knows except for this lady. Like, somebody's got to tell her. Like, that was my reaction. I had another friend who was sleeping with a married.
Did you write the letter?
I didn't end up writing the letter because I was talked out of it.
Everyone is like,
you're out of your mind.
Sit the fuck down.
But I was just feeling like secondhand, like, what if this was happening to me? Like,
I know.
And there's no
one who's
going to
tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it feels unfair. Like, if someone's just cheating on their own, like, whatever, but like, he was so sloppy. I would right. I would hope that some weird lady like me would Somebody. Venture forth to tell me. But no, right. she I was talked out of it shortly after she found out. And
okay.
Ooh, so what about you? Have you been near something like this?
I don't keep people like this in my universe. Yeah. So yeah. it's a hard no. No. Justine was saying we're waiting on her to tell us this story. She has some crazy story from college, apparently, like a roommate situation.
Oh.
She lived in a dorm with 7 girls at her college. Okay. So just mess. So I'm waiting for this story from her. But no, I've not. This is the closest I've gotten to it is watching Scandal.
Yeah. Yeah. I had another friend who was cheating with someone who was married. And I Oof. Was such a... made it so clear I didn't abide by it, like our friendship ended.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
And then when the affair ended, we started befriending it. But like, yeah, I just don't want it around me.
I don't want it around me.
I just think of like, what if it's happening to me?
Right. I don't want none of it. I don't want that even in my universe. That just feels like bad energy, just bad juju. I don't want that near me.
Same. That's always what I'm saying. I always put myself in everyone's shoes and I'm like, this is not okay.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. Okay, let's dive in. What are your initial thoughts of last night's episode, part 2 of the reunion? And are there any themes, any questions, anything that came up that you want to tackle this episode?
I mean, so much. One, just an overall, I'm glad James calmed down a little bit to allow the reunion to sort of take place.
Right.
He is exercising some demon through all of this that I cannot put my finger on. You know what I mean? Like, he has taken this affair, like, he is wielding this as if it happened to him.
Yeah.
Finding out that he called everyone's mom fat.
It's nuts.
Like,
the
really big thing I kept thinking about, which isn't the centerpiece, but I really keep thinking about Allie. Because I find myself, like, she gives so little, it becomes so much. Like, I you know what I mean? Like, she's
giving the absolute least, but everything at the same time.
She's giving everything by giving nothing, and I'm fascinated by it. Mm. And I'm watching her all season and this reunion just observe a cacophony of red flags, an orchestra of red flags, and... Yeah. She calls it out. She'll be like, he's bad. He shouldn't do this. But then she's quiet and present. And I can't tell if she's just like, yo, I got to get on this show because my astrology readings are sold out. That's a fact. I tried to book one. I was like, yes, I was going to book it for my husband as a joke. And it didn't work with him. He's very thankful. But no, she's just booked. She's sold out. So I'm just like, is she here to like get her astrology business going? Or is this a real person who.
I don't know.
Seemingly. Can watch James can freak out about this. Raquel in this way.
Right. And she said, we learned in this reunion, she spent COVID watching Vanderpump. So she came in very aware of who James was and this world that she was walking into. So I don't trust her. Not one bit.
But she's like so nice and quiet.
Right, but so sweet.
But it's like... but then also she seems stable compared to all of them.
I know. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. So anyways, I was really thinking a lot about her witnessing this and like wondering how she's staying in the relationship and like to what purpose.
Right.
And then with Raquel, I'm really worried about her brain. It's like firing at a slow pace.
Very.
And she's smiling in moments that feel so eerie. I think something is, I don't know what it is. I'm not a doctor. I'm a lady on a podcast.
Right.
But something's wrong.
Something's off. I feel the same. I feel like she should be studied. I need the behavioral scientists to come forward and explain what is this specimen that we are watching.
Yes. Yes.
Help us make sense of this because... Even this episode, like the lack of emotion, the lack of consideration for all of these friendships she's just formed, like it just to blow up your life like this and then have the nerve to even show up on the reunion to face all of them. You couldn't get me to this reunion. Nope.
Oh, really? I am like, yes, a gift. Walk into that reunion. Like, please come back. Because, you know, she disappeared. I'm like, get.
I know.
What? She was supposedly in trauma rehab. Mm-hmm. Get yourself to the reunion.
Allegedly, yeah.
Show us what you learned. God. Maybe they shocked her brain to pieces because something's wrong. Like,
it's like she had a lobotomy or something, right?
Seriously, I'm like, did you go to a 1940s mental institution for hysterical women? Like, what did they, what happened
there? What did they
there?
Do to you?
I also think, like, I'm so bummed when she's like trauma rehab. I'm like, oh, you're giving it a bad name. Like, that's not what, you just need to go to like human communication. 101.
Like school, yes.
Can I tell you this, though? When I mm-hmm. found out Raquel was adopted, it did change mm-hmm. a lot for me. And I know mm-hmm. she was adopted by her mom's sister.
Sister, yep.
But she calls her mom by her first name. Like, that's a weird, that is a weird mind fuck.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I have like a little bit of experience in this myself, and it's just like this, that will warp your brain. Mm-hmm. And I think like the emptiness that comes from something like that has just like, we're seeing it live out. And my friend Akilah has this concept that I repeat all the time where she was like toxic insecurity, where you are so insecure, you become toxic towards others. And I think that's Raquel.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. Yeah, Justine and I talked about that, like the foundational relationship in her life with her mother is complex and a little bizarre by some standards, with, you know, being adopted into her family, seeing the mom, but she's not your mom. Like, that's gotta shape someone, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a real, like, you know, obviously, like, adoption doesn't have to be this way, but I do know that it often can be like an identity. It's like taking the vase of a human, shattering it, you know, and they just have to spend their life putting it back together. And I just wonder what's going on for her and if that plays a role.
Yeah. And she spent her life putting it back together while also doing pageants, where you also have to put on a front and be somebody else. And it's just...
Which I have to say, like, watching her in that Andy interview, I'm like, yes, you're a pageant girl, because like there's just no light behind the eyes.
Nope.
But complete sentences. Yeah. And saying somewhat the right thing. Yeah. I don't know if you're annoyed by this, but again, because I kind of came back to this, you know, I had taken a break. So I come in and they're like, I mean, Raquel's a pageant queen. Lisa's like, well, you know, there was no intimacy, and this pageant queen comes around and is like, well, you got to have a pageant queen. And I'm like, I look it up, and they're like, she won Miss Sonoma County once.
She was like at the state fair going down the parade.
And I'm like, and that alone warped all y'all's brains.
Right.
Like,
please.
I'm like, don't you have to like, you know, be like,
win some pageants. Like, that's what Ariana said. You got to win some pageants to be called a beauty queen. Come on.
Yeah. I was really, so that's really funny to me, the way her like narrative in that group of like the hottest, most beautiful pageant girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way James is a DJ, where it's like, sure, you know what?
Okay.
I could probably find an over 30 pageant and enter it and become a pageant girl myself.
Like, right. I could find a little playlist and spin some tunes at a party. Please.
Yeah, I could be a DJ for my talent in a bikini that doesn't fit. And I guess I'm a DJ pageant girl now.
Oh, God. A vision. My thoughts too were around Raquel. I was a little annoyed at Raquel coming out at the last 5 minutes. Yeah. I should have known they were going to do that to us. I do like that we got more like camera time to see her and kind of like observe her movement at all times.
Yeah.
Just the lack of emotion and remorse is like really, as you said, eerie, very eerie to see something stunted, something's not clicking. Like, it's almost like I feel like in a week it's all gonna hit her and then she's gonna cry or something. It's like something so bottled up that's not released.
A part of me is like, if it hasn't hit you yet, like that's not coming for a decade. Like, one day you're gonna be on the freeway and realize what happened. Like,
what happened? Know, yeah.
And so much social media backlash, which like really that hasn't been ignored. Did you find it?
Right.
Tell me if you read it this way, but it really seemed like when Tom, who by the way feels like he's doing like Gomez in the Addams Family, like in his like black coat and like,
know.
Just like, but he comes in the trailer and it seems like she was like, well, Sheena mentioned you were intimate. Like, basically, like, did you cheat on me with Ariana while cheating with
That's
me?
That's how
she
was coming.
Upset.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a mess.
Yeah. Like,
and
you
you're
are
doing it on camera.
I'm like, is she actually dumb or is she just a loony?
Yeah. Like, I'm like,
I don't know what even, and we'll get to it too. A lot of things she said where I was just like, what universe is she living in? Like, something just seems, she's living in a fantasy land and it's just her there, girl.
Like, but I don't even like, it doesn't even, it feels like, it feels like a robot. It feels like AI.
Yeah.
Like Raquel is still in rehab.
Giving AI.
And they were like, ChatGP can listen. We said it was ready. Send it in.
Send it in. Exactly. Oh, God. So, yeah, I'm excited to, talk more about her. I'm excited. I definitely want to talk about, like, on a more serious note, just the concept of, like, self-esteem in a relationship.
Yeah.
And if you don't got none, you kind of have no business being in a relationship or even dating, I would say. And I feel like we see it, obviously, with Raquel. But Raquel aside, I think James Kennedy has serious self-esteem issues.
Oh,
I mean, the
gosh.
Fact that he turns, if it's not to drinking, then he just throws himself into another relationship to deal with whatever self-hatred he's dealing with. We obviously see it with Sandoval. We see it even with Ariana, for her to stay in this horrible relationship for this long. I just feel like these people, all of these people on the stage, think so lowly about themselves and have stayed in all these terrible relationships and seeking worth externally. And it's because they don't have any self-esteem. Like, I feel like it comes down to that core fundamental thing that we try to like develop in teenagers that these grown ass people still have not developed.
Yeah. So, it's that RuPaul quote. If you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love someone
else? Love anybody
kinda
else.
Like the 101. That being said, I feel like especially in certain circles and certain upbringings, like low self-esteem is like the norm. And then that honestly to me feels like the majority of the dating pool, and especially for women, you know what I mean? Where you're taught to like have, obviously I think we're seeing it times 1,000, but I think what you're saying is really interesting too, because I think normally or your first thought of low self-esteem is like crying and weak or, you know, kind of like broken, where I think low self-esteem is fucking your best friend's man and lying about it. Low self-esteem is thinking you have a DJ career when you're opening for Cascade. And what he actually did was DJ at a pool party. Listen, I'm a journalist. I went to the pool party footage. No, I'm not a journalist at all. No, are you kidding me? No, I'm a Vanderpump journalist. We went to go see, we were like, what was he doing at Imagine Festival?
Right, what is this?
We went and found the footage. It was just a quarter full pool party. He DJ'd a pool party.
Oh my God.
But
so
he's
like an adjacent event to the festival.
Event. I
Damn,
hope Cascade DJ'd the final swim lap, as he said. But yeah, he like fronts so hard and it's like, oh, that's like crippling self-esteem. And I think
definitely
Sandoval, I think one of the reasons where I'm like, I think he and Raquel maybe are meant to be is because he seems to do best with people where he is the smartest person and he's not very smart. So he's really got to, but it's like him leaning over to Schwartz being like, hey man, you can say, this is my medication. It's none of your business. Cause he's like the smart one.
The smart one. God.
I think Raquel is obviously like, Tom's a genius. And I think he needs that. You know, because he has such low self-esteem. He couldn't be with a real person in Ariana.
Exactly. Yeah. Another thing I will definitely talk more about. I want to get your thoughts on Tom and Ariana's, just the state of their relationship, just them being in like, it seems like they lived in a completely different relationship, the both of them. And just the level of breakdown it takes to get to that point where like you're on planet Mars, I'm on Earth, and we're living the same life but completely differently. Like I have so many questions for Ariana, but she's being very tight-lipped about their relationship and like what the inner workings of it. Which is a part of her strategy. I think that's a smart strategy. Keep the focus on the affair.
Yeah.
Don't even give people any ammunition to work against you. But it's still very, just very perplexing to me to see this relationship. They've been together for 9 years and he's singing one tune, she's singing another. And it's like, what happened here for you guys to exist on two different planes like this? It's,
yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I do agree with her in that, like, no amount of like lack of intimacy means he gets to cheat in the way he did, right. Especially like, which was like, just like, he had so many outs. So I agree with that. There's definitely, the one part where I'm like, this is just fishy and I can't, it's just fishy. I can't, like, I want to believe Ariana, but I don't think I do. Like, the fact that so many people said they have an open relationship, or that like, Ariana says, as long as you don't embarrass me, you know, and like Katie's her business partner and said that, and Lala went on a podcast and was like, they're so different off camera. And I again, like, not an excuse for cheating, but it does seem like they had some sort of setup.
Unspoken something.
Unspoken something. And no matter what, Tom violated it.
Yeah,
and I would 100%. Say if it was, as long as it doesn't embarrass me, we're fine. He really obliterated that agreement.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's I found it so odd that that, and that keeps getting like played down.
Yeah, it keeps getting.
And that was the one thing where I was like, is this fake? Like, they had an open relationship, but they're gonna make a scandal out of it. And like, I don't think it's fake, but I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know either. Yeah, there's definitely more there that we're not. I don't think we're ever going to get from her. I think she very smartly is kind of just keeping the focus on the cheating and not trying to open up any more questions. But it does leave us as viewers wondering, like, what the hell is actually going on here? Something seems off, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyways, before we dive into the recap, first things first, I do have a lovely church announcement. Every episode, Chelsea, we do some email call outs for our listeners to write in, help us make sense of what the fuck we're watching. So last week we talked about Sandoval and the idea of him having like a midlife crisis or whatever the hell this is. I don't have any experience with this. So I was like, please, people, write in, make this make sense.
Yeah.
So we had a listener, I'll call her S. She wrote in about her experience. S works in politics. So she said, unfortunately, she has seen many a life crises among her colleagues, particularly her male colleagues. Very stereotypical guys buying sports cars, guys getting in relationships with the intern, all that jazz. But she said she actually witnessed this with her own dad, who went through a midlife crisis himself, was struggling with retirement, was dealing with, she says, 20 years of PTSD and moral injury working in the military. And he divorced her mom out of the blue after 25 years of marriage, moved out of the house for a month, was testing sports cars, was going to get tattoos. She went with him to get his first tattoo, was kind of out of his mind for a month, and then eventually came back to his senses, came home. They did counseling, and 10 years later, they're stronger than ever.
Okay, what was that tattoo, though? You come
so
home, you come back with a tattoo. It better have been her name and a heart.
Right. Exactly. So wild. I thank you, S, for writing in, sharing that experience. I've never myself witnessed this. I feel like watching Tom, this is maybe a version. I feel like everybody's midlife crisis looks different. Do you, Chelsea, have any experiences with anyone in your life or witness what a midlife crisis can look like? And do you think Sandoval is going through one?
I think once your boyfriend starts getting full white gel manis consistently, when he hasn't before, it's not prior behavior. I think we're in a midlife crisis. Because let me tell you, have you had a white gel mani? It is so hard to keep it white if you're doing anything.
Yeah,
like, and he's making drinks, he's in the bar. Like, I have gone for like white marble before, you know, where there's still little cracks. And can't just one wrong night, like dinner out, and it's like that's a little orange. That man kept that manicure sparkling.
Yeah.
And that's definitely that's a sign that like something deep is a brewing.
Yeah.
I I don't know if this is correct, but I do hope that like the antidote to midlife crises is making sure you're living your fullest self within the relationship. Mm-hmm. And like, I think there's a lot to be said about like relationships are compromised, or like, especially mm-hmm. when kids are involved or family or whatever, but like, mm-hmm. you know, in my hopes, like you can go get a tattoo within the marriage. You know what I mean? You guys can right. like do it together. And I think there's a difference between like someone who's having a midlife crisis where like, I need to have these other experiences and my partner won't let me, or it's not right. available in my current life versus I need another woman to like me or another person to like me and love me so that I can have my confidence back. Like that's a you issue that can happen mm-hmm. at any time in life. It was probably right. happening the whole time as we,
yeah.
that's his thing.
Yeah, true.
I think he thinks saying, you know, I turned 40 and maybe right. my life isn't over is a good strategy. It is yeah. in fact comedy, and I thank him for it. Like, he's just like constantly yelling that he's 40
reaching.
And all washed up, and he's got a mm-hmm. mustache. He's mm-hmm. grown out a hair swoop. He's like mm-hmm. rocking a Bieber while also rocking like a pedophile
stash.
Like, yeah, that man, God. That man's been going through something.
He's in crisis. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like, I feel like those crises happen, like not because of your age, but because of like, you haven't been fulfilling yourself.
Yourself. Yeah. 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 I agree. I totally agree. I think yeah. Tom, he's a narcissist. He's piecing together a strategy. So he's kind of throwing out so many things. So now a midlife crisis is part of it. But I agree. I think he has been unfulfilled within himself. I think there's a lot of self-hatred there. I don't know if we want to give him the credit of calling it a midlife crisis, or this guy's just like, his life has just been a hot fucking mess. But either way,
I mean, what was it when he was cheating with Miami girl, another unnamed girl, right. another girl? Like,
what was that?
What are we, a 35 crisis, a 37 crisis? Like, everybody can have an age crisis, if that's what we're calling, like, cheating.
Right.
I also don't think, like, yeah, I don't give passes to those crises at all. Mm-hmm. I don't even think they're a real thing in that. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't think it's age-based. I think it's circumstantial to like you and your journey through life.
Yeah.
And I don't get the vibes that Ariana wouldn't go hang gliding and to get a pedicure with him. I just don't get that. So like that, right. this was just his own issue. I don't think she was stopping him from that.
From doing it. I agree. Yeah. He's been running around wearing sequins pants and painting his nails white, and she's been there the whole time. So I don't know what he,
yeah,
where he was feeling like, you know, suppressed in this relationship. Yeah.
And
I don't know.
By the way, I just want to say, like, if my man was like, I want to like get manis and wear he already has worn a full sequin suit to a premiere once. And I was like, I love this shit. Like, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
I don't think like, you know, those specific things like mean you're losing your mind. I think the mm-hmm. way he did it meant he's mm-hmm. losing his mind.
He's losing his mind. Exactly. Oh my God. Well, thank you, S, for writing in with your experience. Much appreciate. And anyway, shout out to the Rose Garden, amazing Patreon community. If you love our Vanderpump recaps, did you know you can listen to this very episode ad-free on Patreon? You can also watch this episode. You can see me and Chelsea and our beautiful faces on Patreon. And if you love us and just want more of us, you can unlock tons of other weekly content from us. Instead of getting one episode a week, why not gift yourself three? We just dropped Married at First Sight recap. We also dropped a really fun episode, a trailer breakdown of the wretched season 2 of And Just Like That, the Sex and the City.
I can't believe you abandoned The Bachelor, but stayed within Just Like That.
Just the trailer. I didn't say we watching the show. We just broke down that wretched trailer.
Okay.
So all of that goodness is on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/twoblackgirlsonerose. Join the community. You can also try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. So why not? Okay, Chelsea, let's dive into this recap.
Yes.
So we pick back up from last week with Lala going in on Sandoval, and he is telling her that she needs to take accountability and calls her a narcissist, coming from the ultimate narcissist.
Yeah, that being said, I think the show's incredible because it's 10 narcissists.
Like, all of them, every good. Last one of them.
Good.
Exactly.
I actually, I think I might be a Lala apologist. I love how much she brings. She brings so much.
She does. She's super problematic, but she has the self-confidence for everybody on the stage. So you gotta kind of love her for that.
She does. And yet, you know, another relationship theme is when you have someone hurt you so badly as Randall did, you project it onto everyone else's relationship, which I've also been guilty of doing. Like someone comes to you with a problem and you're like, this reminds me of my one big problem I've always had. Everything filters through that. She's also someone that has to have low self-esteem.
She must. She's the best at putting on a front and feigning confidence. So I give her credit for that. But anyways.
Can I say something just slightly? Yes. I'm not trying to be super shady, but again, because I took a break from the show. Yeah. When they did the flashback to Lala talking about Randall and I saw her previous face, I was like, wow, fillers and plastic surgery is an art
did
form.
A number,
Because all season I was just like, oh, she looks beautiful. And like, you know, she looked beautiful back then too. But those are two different people. Two different humans. People.
Completely. Yeah. Sheena's another one. When they flash back, I'm like, oh, totally different face. Totally different face. So Sandoval, he's going in on Lala. I don't know if you caught this when he said to her, you pulled your IUD the day you found out Stassi was pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Which is like,
what the fuck?
I guess did you think that meant like she was always in competition with Stassi or that she really wanted a baby to outdo her or take attention?
He's trying to say something like that, but
I mean, it's a very funny line.
And why are you talking about my birth control plan? Why are you all up in my uterus? Sit down and shut up.
You literally went to your sperm appointment with Schwartz.
Thank you.
Got your sperm news together. And we're clearly going to... Also, he said he wants me to fertilize her embryos. Like, dude, children are like, it's...
He doesn't know. You're not like,
your sperm ain't a gift to Ariana's embryos. This was not... And then she was like, I was doing it for him. Anyways, he went that far while fucking someone else. Like, don't talk about IUDs.
Don't talk about anything. Please be quiet. So anyways, we do dive into Lala and Randall, which was a whole thing that happened. She broke up with Randall, like huge thing, but it kind of took a backseat this season for obvious reasons. But we learned a little bit from her. You know, her and Randall haven't seen each other face to face in a hot minute. Their daughter Ocean's not allowed on camera per his requests. And then Andy brings up 100%. I don't think anybody's children.
The one good move from Randall.
From Randall, right? These kids should not be on this here show with these people, please.
Yes.
And then Andy brings up the LA Times expose on Randall's casting couch scandal situation. Have you read this article? I haven't read it. I don't know much.
I read it a while ago and I'm dying to watch the Hulu documentary.
Me too.
But I think it's like so, it's not funny, but go with me on this. Like, he ran this whole scandal for movies we've never heard of.
That's what I'm saying.
Like what movie, like he did like what movie has she produced? Movies. Like, I have no idea. And they're like, everyone, you know, like, we're in Hollywood. Like, I'm a television writer for a living. Randall who? Like, where'd she even find him?
I don't know. That's the thing. I'm like, who the hell is Randall? He's supposed to be this Hollywood mogul. I can't name
he is not.
Single film that this man has made.
Yeah.
But anyways, he has that big scandal going. Lala points out that his spokesperson is Harvey Weinstein's spokesperson. So
just we all know they did a great job.
Right, exactly. And so, we're like, did you know about this casting couch situation? Were you surprised? She said that people have been kind of flooding her DMs with allegations for a while. So she wasn't that surprised. She was surprised definitely seeing the LA Times expose come out, but she kind of knew that this dude was slimy all along. And then, we kind of learned her origin story of meeting Randall. She was hostessing at Sir. He kind of did what he does, which is sent his assistant to approach her, asked her to audition for something. She auditioned. She got the part, quote unquote, for whatever B film that never left the shelf. And they do that little flashback to her. This is back in like 2018, sitting with Stassi talking about, you know, I went out with him and I let him hit it the first night. And she got a car.
And
the next
day I got a car. Which, listen, if I knew, none of my, all of my one night stands ended in like a roll of toilet paper I had to bring myself to their shitty apartment. Like, well, I don't know what I've ever gotten other than regret.
Yeah. Girl got a car.
There's a car on the table. All right.
maybe. Think a little second. Yeah. So yeah, Lala kind of chalks it up to, you know, she was a naive girl from Utah. She didn't know this is how men in Hollywood operated. She didn't feel like she had to sleep with him to get the part. And so that's kind of, that's her story, I guess. I will say I was very shocked to hear that Lala was 4.5 years sober. I did not realize 4.5 years had gone by.
Yeah.
And from those days when she was running around with James and they were like barking at everybody and they were pissed drunk the whole time.
I like that her personality has remained the same, maybe even gotten stronger.
I do.
I like that.
Yes. And,
I do think there's like a wave of people realizing they can be sober and still like live party, fun, active lives. Mm-hmm. I really like that she's representing that on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point. She's been pretty consistent. I mean, minus the drinking, Lala has pretty much been the Lala we got from day one to now. She's brought that same energy.
She's out at the club being like, who's there? I'm going to fuck him. Give me a soda, water, and lemon. You're like, that's right. All it takes? Yeah, okay.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah, that's true. She had the Don, whatever that guy's name was this season.
The Don, and she called that to his face. She'd be like, let's go, the Don. I was like, who decided this? Is this man in on this?
Why is there a the in your name? What the hell? Anyways, so they take a lunch break from filming, and Sandoval goes to Raquel's trailer. And he's giving her the whole play-by-play as if she hasn't been watching the whole time. And he's like, you know, they're making us out to be pathological liars. And she's like, well, we haven't really lied about anything except the affair.
Which is 1,000 lies. 1,000 lies went into the affair.
Thank you. What?
Yeah.
This was the scene where I was like, these two knuckleheads are actually meant for each other.
Yeah. If they're not happily ever after, they're not meant for anyone. Also, him throwing that fit, thinking he can get off camera time with Raquel is just like,
it's crazy.
Proving everyone correct.
That also made me think, like, I could never be a reality star, like, where your work is your life. Like, I hear him, he just wants to not be filmed for a second. You can't get that. Your life is our job right now, bro. If you're gonna sit with her, you're gonna be filmed.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. This is your job.
Gosh, oof. I was listening to this podcast. It was actually like my first time trying to listen to it. And I want to pull it up so I can give him a shout out. But
yes.
What was it? It was the Popcast. Mm-hmm. And one of the host takes was that reality stars are do more work and have more effort and more talent than actual actors. And he was like, because their stakes are their lives.
Their like, whole life.
If he was just saying like, oh, you know, Julia Roberts plays, you know, a dick. She's like that was a character. Whereas like Sandoval and the world were like, fuck you. You know, I'd be like, you're right. These people are giving us art and they're living it. They have to like, and and they have to show up. And this is so dorky because you're right. I could never, definitely if I go on a reality show, I know I'm getting the villain edit. Because I just know it. Yeah, I would be the nicest person. I'd come out as the villain because I would like say something that would, anyways. But
yeah,
as I watch these shows, I just go like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for existing. Thank you for living these lives.
Thank you for doing the work. Yes.
Thank you for giving us this television.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah,
I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Are you? Thank you. Please come back on the show, Raquel. I beg you.
Please. I could not. It just feels so claustrophobic. Even him just kind of pacing. He's like, I'm in a delicate situation. It's like, all right, fuck you, Sandoval. But also like, I would be losing my mind too. Like, I can't even get a second to breathe without this camera down my back. Like,
yes, oof. But also, like, why haven't you guys spoken enough off camera to what plan for this reunion? Say?
Exactly.
What, y'all are dummies. You miss. You can't text each other. They got your phones tapped. Like, what's going on?
What the hell? Oh my god. So, anyways,
Which, by the way, just real quick, have you ever? Listen, I've done some romantic videos with my. The man who is now my husband, but we were long distance for a long time.
Okay.
I never thought to record it. That's the where you ruin lives.
Recording? That's I'm what like, I'm saying.
Did she know he was recording that?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's true. We never talked about that. I don't know. But that is fucking, that's fucked
up. If I found out a man recorded a sexy FaceTime, I would get... I would get Sheena's attorney or Raquel's attorney and be like, we got to file something.
Cease and desist or whatever the fuck I need. Yeah, that was wild. He just kept that in his phone roll like, ugh, idiot.
Yeah.
Anyways, Sandoval and Raquel, they're talking in the trailer. She is, as you said, she's like kind of ticked off watching. She's like, I didn't know you and Ariana still had a thing going. It looks like you guys did have a solid relationship. Like, she's like so offended that he cheated on her back with his girl. Like, very bizarre.
Yeah.
Oh my god. She's like, I felt like Ariana felt like you wanted to keep the relationship going because you never broke up with her, which is like, no shit. Hello.
Yeah, obviously. And then she's like, oh, she just, I guess it's later. Okay, I'll wait, go ahead.
She's like, my entire character is being called into question. I just feel like I went through this transformative life experience over the summer and maybe the pendulum swung too far in the other direction.
I mean,
so I'm having a wake up call.
Too far at Oliver. Then at Schwartz.
Thank you.
We have passed the line of no return. Mm-hmm. Episode two,
girl. Oh my god. So, yeah, those two loonies are just honestly just kind of egging each other on, looking wild. Everybody else is at lunch just talking cash shit about those two, obviously. So we get back to filming and Allie with her little Barbie pink Pretty Little Things number comes on stage. And yeah, we learned that she binge watched the show during COVID. She decided to anyways give James a chance and calls him lovely.
I'm sure. I'm sure that was the only word she could think of. You know, it a little bit reminded me. This is why I liked Allie. It reminded me of go with me on this, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, where she made such a show of, I never even Googled the Queen. I never even I knew nothing about British royalty, which is like, I don't care about them and I know stuff. So that's just like, it's just so, because she wanted to present that she genuinely loved Harry. Whereas Allie is like, yeah, I saw the show. I'm so happy she did that. And also, if she hadn't in COVID, I would hope the moment she met James, she went home and watched it back to front. If you didn't, you're a maniac. Like,
yeah.
And then she was like, yeah, I've seen it. Like, it'd be ridiculous if she hadn't.
Right, to go in this unprepared. But very odd. I mean, Allie, she seems harmless. She seems sweet. But I still think she's a fucking weirdo. If you watch back Vanderpump and saw the way James, like, spoke to Raquel, the way he, when he was back in his heyday with Lala, just on one, how he treated everybody, to see that and to want anything to do with this person in your life is just, something ain't right with her. Something ain't right.
She's an astrologist. Can she not look at his chart
and see
that something bad is coming? Like, is she not looking a year forward? Like, what kind of astrologist are you? The fact that she's an astrologist at all, that's nuts to me. And I just, the only way I will come out of this loving her forever is if she was here to get her business going, in which case, God bless.
God bless, girl. Get your money.
I'm nervous for her.
Yeah. So Andy brings up how they started dating just 6 months, or not 6 months,
six weeks
after him and Raquel broke up their engagement. And I love how they put in this little montage of all these moments of James sitting with Lisa crying and bawling, and he's been going through it with Raquel, with his own sobriety, just like his own personal journey of life has been rough. Which again, Allie saw all of this and still decided to dive in headfirst. But James is very proud of his growth. He's talked about, you know, how far he's come, and he was very quick many times during reunion, this episode and last, to always bring up like, well, I was 21 when I did that. You know, that was 10 years ago. That was forever ago.
That was 2 years ago when I was a little boy. 2 years.
You know what?
James's growth is the equivalent of like standing against a wall and measuring your height, and then go put on shoes and you measure again. and you're like, 2 millimeters.
I've grown.
I don't see any growth from James. God.
No. Like, the only growth, I guess he slowed down his drinking some, I guess.
But he was sober, and then now he's not, and
now he's back to drinking.
He's on track. Like, that's the opposite of growth.
That is the opposite of growth, man. So anyways, we see a little quick flashback, Raquel, during that car ride when the ladies went on their little girls trip, and she revealed all of these horrible things that James did during their relationship, all the horrible things he said to her parents, which then gives James cause to go off rambling about Raquel's mom and things she said about his penis. Like,
knowing James, it's so it's exaggerated. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
100%. Knowing James, her mom wasn't like, so tell me, what is your dick like? More potatoes? Like, I just don't, I don't think that's how it happened.
No, James, what are these lies, please? Then we start talking about James's drinking. Has it gotten better? What's the deal? Sandoval decides to pipe in and tells the story of him, Schwartz, and James had this like ongoing job in Atlantic City, which sounds bizarre within itself. what is that job?
Yeah, what is it? What do they need you three for?
In Atlantic City, okay.
Club appearances? I don't know.
Who is club? What is going down to AC? Who's going to AC? What? So they had this ongoing job in Atlantic City. James was belligerently drunk. He slapped a waitress on the ass. They lost the job. Just Sandoval just trying to throw in anything to deflect from him, obviously. And Lala calls him out for that. You know, the fact that both Toms also have, I don't know if they want to say they have alcohol issues, but they also drink a lot. These are two dudes who are out on the town every night, it seems.
Nothing about their behavior or this show makes sense if they're not lit up constantly. Otherwise, I don't know how the decisions happen.
I don't know. So she's like, it's a little rich for you two to be talking about James and his drinking when y'all two also drink like crazy. So Sandoval again reaching for straws. I don't smack girls in the ass when I'm drunk, which was a nice little layup for Ariana to just pipe in. Well, you do fuck their friends, though. So
she had a lot of layups.
She did. And yeah, James is in therapy now. He claims it's helping with his anger. He just bought a house in the valley. I think Allie's moving in with him, which is troubling. It seems like they all have houses in the valley. What's the valley? What is this place?
Do you know? Oh, yeah. Wait, are you not in LA?
No, I'm in New York, girl.
In my heart, you are always in LA. I don't know why. I'm in LA. Okay, the valley.
Yes. Ooh, educate us on this place. I know nothing.
Happy to. So where Sir and Pump and I guess the sandwich shop is downtown, not downtown, but it's West Hollywood. And it's a real party city party street. Central. It's kind of where you first, it's often where your first apartment in LA is. So when I moved to LA, yes. I lived in West Hollywood.
I've
and the day when I was
okay.
I can't live here anymore is it was 7 a.m. and I was drinking coffee like on the sidewalk. I mean, it was an apartment. So I was just down on the mm-hmm. sidewalk, just looking outside. And a man walked maybe 6 inches in front of me, threw up and kept walking. Cause he'd been out all night on that, on that strip. And I was it is time to move.
I gotta go.
The elevation of that part of LA is mm-hmm. the valley. So it's not to say it's the good part of LA, but it is where you'd be I'm on the valley. It's also somewhat more affordable. So it's you couldn't go down. Sheena, I believe, lives way, way south, towards the beach. She's almost
yes.
kind of out of LA.
She's in Marina.
Which is there's a lot of really expensive neighborhoods that these people could not live in. I think the Valley is a place where they would have homes in their range. The Valley's still a nice place. It's just not, it's not Beverly Hills. It's not,
Like they're in Malibu or something.
The West Side. Yeah. Even Los Feliz and Silver Lake are a little bit more artsy.
Okay.
And more, they're artsier areas. So they're I'm not going to go there. gotta go. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, it seems like they're all, everyone, that's the next step. They all leave and then get homes in the valley. So now James has reached that milestone. Okay, we dive into Sheena and Brock. They had their, big wedding in Mexico this year. And obviously Katie was kind of on the outskirts of that. Her and Sheena have been in turmoil.
Katie's a monster for going. That was monster
crazy.
Behavior.
That was nuts. Yeah.
We recently got married. Can you fucking imagine having such a fallout with someone that you disinvite them from the wedding and mm-hmm. they still come
Show up.
To your hotel to be around what is supposed to be a beautiful experience? Mm-hmm. She is poison for that. That is disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Obviously I'm coming from I was a bride and I just cannot believe, they even offered to buy her out and she said no. She is there to be a witch. I just think there's a couple moments in life you try not to fuck up for someone. Their wedding, a baby shower.
Babies. Yeah.
Other funerals. Than that, go off. But fuck up her birthday party. I don't know about her wedding. That's nuts.
Not wedding. Yeah, that was Katie was fucking on one with that one. That was absolutely diabolical, I think. So Katie and Sheena obviously have been on the outs. Schwartz is Brock's groomsman and besties with Sheena. So obviously that's been a fucking mess. And Katie was very disappointed in Schwartz for, diving in headfirst with this friendship, quote unquote, with Brock, who he met last year. And Schwartz's whole thing with Katie is that she diminishes his friendships. She doesn't take him seriously. She has a long history of diminishing the friendships. And Katie had a great line, I thought, which she said, "You're a serial killer's wet dreams. You're friends with everyone." Mm-hmm. And this group, not even just Schwartz, this group, do you notice they use the term friend and best friend so loosely? Everyone's best friends. Everyone's a friend.
Yeah, I guess I didn't notice that. I'm just there's only 10 of them, I assume. I don't know. Yeah, that's very weird. Also, Brock is not from here. So he had to get new friends for groomsmen. I don't know if they could all not fly over, but I think he probably had to build a friendship with Schwartz.
Build it together. Yeah. Oh, my God. And then, we talk about the conversation between We kind of segue a little bit. Lala and Allie, we saw this moment during Sheena's wedding where Lala sits down with Allie and is like warning her about James and like...
Which also like not okay. You can't be like, I fucked him twice. Stay away. Like, you know, I don't know if I would have listened to that either. You know?
I know. Yeah. Allie said she was open though. She was like, I was open to hearing what Lala and all the ladies had to say, but I do wish I was more protective of us and me and James. But I don't know. Lala's whole thing was that she was like triggered this summer with all she was going on with Randall. Yeah. And as you said before, she was kind of just like projecting on everyone and trying to be, I guess, Captain Save-A-Ho this year with Allie and not wanting her to go down, you know, a bad, dark place with James, which.
Yeah, I think that was a correct assessment. She was constantly mm-hmm. thinking about Randall and mm-hmm. being triggered about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this restraining order now. We got a court date on the 29th. Sheena refuses to speak. She can't speak. She's operating on legal advice. Can't say shit. So the whole story is that Sheena punched Raquel, right? That's why Raquel got this restraining order. No one believes it. No, you know, Sheena did the whole, she can't put her hand into a fist thing.
Greatest iconic moment. My yes. hands don't work like that.
Yes, I could never have punched her. Andy turns to Sandoval to find out what he thinks. And he gives the longest, stupidest fucking pause. When all he had to say was like, I don't know. I wasn't there.
I mean, I got to tell you, listen, I think I'm also a Sheena apologist. I like Sheena a lot. I absolutely believe she said she punched that bitch in the face. I don't know that she did, but she absolutely said it. She starts going, shut the fuck up, Sandoval. Then don't say mm-hmm. anything. Then don't say, like, she mm-hmm. knows this could.
Things were said, potentially.
Yeah, she knows things were said. Now, let me tell you, we know a lot of girls with nails who can form a fist. Listen, I come from, like, small town fight culture. Like, trust, like, you may not be able to form a full fist, but you can still punch someone with nails on. Not that I have done it, but I have witnessed a like that, that's not going to stand up in court. That being said, I really don't understand why Raquel did that. I think she was just like grasping for some amount mm-hmm. of power, but to know how much Sheena did for her. And when Sheena was crying, yeah. like, I loved this girl, did everything for her. And Raquel yeah. was like, oh, maybe I should have sent a note to Sheena. I was like,
oh my God. Sick. Yo.
Like if you, yeah, I just.
Sick.
Yeah,
Sheena's obviously like very, very emotional about this whole thing. It's one thing to be betrayed by friends, and then now one of the same friend is dragging you through the court system is like, what the hell? Like, you just woke up and now you're living in an alternate universe.
Horrible. Yeah.
So Andy does question Sheena about her suspicions on Raquel. You know, there's all these rumors. It's kind of an open secret, kind of, that maybe something's going on between Sandoval and Raquel. Sheena was very much like Team Raquel. No, she can never do that. But she does admit that she, all these allegations were coming to her. She eventually did sit with Ariana and discuss all of these suspicions with her. And told her, Lala's coming to me and telling me these things. Katie's telling me these things. And she sat with Ariana and there was a conversation that was had. And Ariana told her, it's not possible. They would never do this to me. You know, this is not the case. That was shocking to me. The fact that that conversation happened.
I listened to Ariana's interview on Call Her Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly I need to re-listen, but she said, like, if this was, I'm sure she said that, I listened yesterday, I told you, mm-hmm. I'm a VPR journalist. She said in the interview that if it was real, like when people came to her on camera, she was like, that's our job. Our job mm-hmm. is to bring every conversation moment to each other on camera. It happens all the time. So like, I didn't believe it. If it was really mm-hmm. real, someone would have come to me off camera
mm-hmm.
and said very seriously, I think this is going like if it, and then I would have taken it seriously. So mm-hmm. I don't know if this Sheena conversation happened after they wrapped, but mm-hmm. she was mm-hmm. saying like no one had done mm-hmm. that. And it sounds like someone did do that. And like, mm-hmm. I am not buying into like, she didn't want to know. If she just followed me, She would have known cheating. Like, I don't buy into that, but like,
no.
It is wild how many people, you know, told her something told was her going things. On. And I guess that's what led her to check his phone finally.
Yeah, I think so. Andy also then brings up the whole Coachella open relationship debates. Sandoval apparently said to Raquel way back in April that he was in an open relationship. And they're kind of saying now that he's been kind of after Raquel since April, essentially.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And that is a common dude lie. They're always like, I'm separated, Oliver. We're getting a divorce. No, they're not, Randall. A cheater's favorite lie.
Yep, exactly. He denies it up and down, obviously. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we talk a little bit about the state of Ariana and Sandoval's relationship. Andy asks Ariana, were you guys hiding anything about your relationship? Her answer is no. I was being honest about everything and we showed everything. Sandoval is on another planet. He says no. It was literally like we'd be arguing 1 second and then the cameras would turn on and it would turn into, honey, I'm home and everything is fine. And he says Ariana, her whole like MO was they're not trustworthy people. They're not going to get that side of us. Unpopular opinion. I kind of believe Sandoval here.
Yeah, I do as well, but not to the extent. I think he's trying to say like the whole thing was fake, where I think it's reasonable to be like, we're on a reality TV show.
Right. Shut the fuck up. We're not going to talk about this.
Let's not take all our personal baggage, because let's pretend that's true. She is still like, get away from here, Tom. You suck. Ooh, Tom, go away. And he's like, Ariana, you fucking suck. It's like, this is y'all hiding the bad stuff. Right. Then I think you are giving us enough.
Yes. I agree. I feel like there's no way that things were all hunky-dory. I mean, there's absolutely no way. Just the massive level of like disrespect, distrust, the breakdown of intimacy, the breakdown of communication. It just doesn't seem like they had a normal, happy relationship that had a couple issues here and there. There's no intimacy. There's no chemistry between them. It's not warm and fuzzy. There's just clearly a lot that we didn't see that went down in this household.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think over the years of watching Vanderpump also, like, we've seen the ins and outs and probably too much of a lot of the relationships. Like when Jax was on the show, Jax with Stassi, Jax with Brittany, like we were all up in their ass. And Sandoval and Ariana were always the relationship that was very private, that we didn't really know all that was going on with them. And I always had a sense that, I mean, Jax would say it too, that there's so much more going on beneath the surface that they just don't talk about.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we also see it clearly with, you know, Miami girl comes to the bar and Ariana is like, you're not like, get away from here. You're not going to say that to my boyfriend. Now we know that from Tom Sandoval to Sheena, Ariana has known the truth the whole time, he is like, I slept with her. And Ariana was like, okay, we're in this together, which I'm like, that's where it's like, yeah, they were ride or die for her to get through that. I think she always thought that if he were to do something like this, that he would include her at some point so that they could go through it together.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Not here. Not now. okay, we talk about this letter now. Andy has a delivery for Sheena. And he says it's a letter from Raquel, or a document, we'll say, from Raquel.
Yes.
And yeah, we see Andy during his sit down with Raquel, his one-on-one, where she admits that she apparently regrets filing the restraining order against Sheena, and she has filed a motion to have it dropped. And so that is the document that Andy brings to Sheena, who obviously gets very emotional. She's talking about the betrayal of these two friends, and then now, you know, going through this whole legal battle and not being able to be present for her daughter, and how she's been defending Raquel to the death, and even so much as saying, I trust her in bed with my husband, and then for her to turn around and do this to me.
Yeah, I also think like this is a gross misuse of restraining orders. Like restraining orders are put in place to stop harm and future harm from. And I think it's pretty clear that Sheena was not putting together violent attacks towards Raquel. Or that there wasn't a future fear. It was this incident that clearly was physical and something very bad happened. But like that is press charges. You know what I mean? And she didn't have enough to do that or whatever her decision was for that. So she goes the restraining order route. I'm just sort of like, I'm bummed for the court system. Like those are there often to protect women, to protect domestic 100%. Violence survivors. Like I was like, this is a really shitty move on her part, unless very she truly shitty. Feared for her life. And it seems like she didn't.
Exactly. It makes me question too, like who's on her team? Was this something her parents were encouraging? Like who told her this is a good idea? Let's go this route.
Sandoval.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I think.
That's true. That could have came from him for sure. Yeah. Oh God.
I don't know.
That's wild. So as this is going on, remember, Raquel's in her trailer. So Raquel's watching this conversation and she literally has a smile on her face. And she says to the producer, oh, man, I really wish I wrote a personal note to Sheena.
Yes.
Seeing her crying on stage and everything. Yeah, bitch. Hello.
Yeah, but it's like so none of the previous relationship from Sheena registered with you. Like it never registered with you how hard she rode for you and that like how upset she was is because she had asked you like don't ever do anything like this and you did
and then to take out a restraining order against her, like now you're seeing her emotion and you're like, oh shit, this was a bad idea. Not all the way there, ma'am. I'm telling you.
No.
And to seeing the smile was like, ugh.
She smiled at all the wrong places.
All the wrong
places. To the point
times.
Where I'm like, there's something wrong going off in her body because it produces a smile. Like some brain synapses got disconnected from the frown and reattached to the smile. And every time something really bad happens, she smiles.
She smiles. Yeah. Oh, God. And then we have Sandoval pleading with Sheena. You know, we didn't do this maliciously. There was no malicious intent. And his approach and his strategy to this reunion is also wild.
This is like, this man can't put together a cocktail menu over the course of 1 year. And he's going to put together a reunion strategy. He couldn't even name the drinks. He just wrote like Blue Shark drink and he wrote down like tequila, some syrup, like a year. That would took a year. I can't imagine what his strategy was going into this. And
it's like he's trying to garner support. He's literally in this moment like pleading with Sheena, like it wasn't malicious, like we had 15 years of friendship. And it's like, where do you think that's gonna get you, her to become your friend again? Like his approach is just so wild to me. Him and Raquel just...
Yeah, they're trying to prove that they are good as opposed to taking accountability, which is which they're saying they're doing, but they're not. Like accountability is owning what happened and they're pretending what happened wasn't bad.
Exactly. So quick moment where Sheena surprises Andy with a vinyl, a gold vinyl of her Good as Gold smash hit before she heads off to her trailer because she obviously can't be on premises with Raquel. And then, yeah, we see more of Raquel sit down with Andy. We have Raquel in her big girl blazer, you know, looking serious, sitting across from Andy, spitting out lines, her therapist or whoever is coaching her, talking about accountability and this, that, and the third. And so, yeah, he asks her, you know, how did this start? Give us from your point of view, how did all of this start? Her story is they were friends for a while. He's always been in her corner. He's always been rooting for her. And things got romantic, as we know, after the girls' trip. And she says Sandoval made her feel seen and heard, which she had never experienced before.
I think also this is how low her self-esteem goes, because she not only needed a man to like pay attention and and get her, she needed someone else's man. That's how much she wanted to feel so fully chosen, to get the endorphins of the cheating, to feel. I just can't believe, I cannot believe that she accepted this love from him and liked it, knowing how close she was with with Ariana.
Like all of that trumped her alliance to Ariana.
Yeah. And then also it's like, and she's like, poor Schwartz. Schwartz is like, God. You know, was clearly their, you know, Schwartz was the retail shop in front of the drug front, you know? And, but then also
the laundromat,
they're actually like kissing and they're intertwined. They're using his house. They're all hanging out. Like it is.
Yeah. Sick.
There's so much poison.
Yeah.
That took place here.
The definition of just toxicity. Just you could see
if
the
that is not a drink on
off.
A Schwartz and Sandy's menu, it is a missed opportunity. Yes. My friends, hear me. I am a restaurateur now. Lean in.
The toxicity. There, you got it. So Andy asks her the ultimate question. How did you envision this would play out with Ariana? Let's talk about Ariana now, okay? This friendship that you had that was so important to you. How did you envision coming back from that, you know, with this? Like, what? So Raquel, again with the smile, the creepy fucking smile. She says, I was living in my own little reality, hoping it'd work out, hoping he'd break up with her and then we could start dating.
But in what, even if that did happen, they break up. Let's say cheating never happened. He and Ariana break up. He starts seeing Raquel. She thought that would go well. She thought Ariana would enjoy that and it would be fine. Like, this
cheating
is,
aside, even in what world would you ever be with him?
This is a sub-zero IQ.
Yeah, really. Literally in this moment, I was like, oh my gosh, she actually is dumb. We've all been like, oh, don't call her dumb. You know, she's not, you know, it's not nice to call people that. She actually is, though. She really thought that she was going to have something with this man.
She can't, like, this is the part, you know, the reunion is where you show your work. Okay. So you did the math. Mm-hmm. So Raquel, we watched all season, 2 + 2 = 97. And now is the part where we go, Raquel, show us your work. And she's like, 2 + ABCDE and minus, and I made a pie. And you're like, uh-oh.
It's not all there. Oh, my God. So Andy brings up, you know, Ariana seems to have ignored a lot of signs. You know, all the signs are pointing that something was happening, but she kept writing for you. Tom, his story is, I think Ariana didn't want to know. Is that what you believe as well? Did you and Tom, were you guys both in cahoots on this, like, theory that Ariana just maybe didn't want to know? And she doubles down. She's like, yeah, it really seemed that way. She never really pressed for more information. She never
just believed
us.
Him. What you're supposed to do in a relationship.
In a relationship. Girl, what? And she's like, yeah, I don't, because Candy calls her out for, like, it sounds like you're blaming Ariana. She's like, I just, you know, at that time, that was my mindset. I'm very ashamed of it now.
I get that. That you created that fucked up truth that Sandoval probably helped in creating. And you know what? Ariana maybe was in denial of it. If you've been with someone nine years,
I think so.
Maybe you wouldn't fucking believe that.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So yeah, Andy brings up, you know, you and Tom seem to be like on a pause from each other. Like maybe you guys are not together or whatever. Do you think you'll come back on the show? He asks her flat out. And this girl said,
I want to.
Oh, God.
It felt like someone like in the medieval town square with their head on the chopping block. And they were like, give me a good.
Truly. It, like she just bring on the abuse. Bring it on, ladies. I want to be in the middle of your firing squad.
Yeah,
like,
she's
what?
Like, I'm going to live after you cut my head off, right? No. Awesome.
No, girl.
Maybe, though. Let's see.
Exactly. Just, it's just crazy. There's no other word to say, but just crazy.
Yeah.
To go through this and then say, I want to come back and film next season. Absolutely,
also,
Andy.
Like,
sign me up.
Then what is in question? Like, they don't know if they're going to have you back? Like, who's saying Raquel can't come back? Get that bitch back on the show. Let
please,
us see
bring
how
her back.
Please. Now. Who's hesitating?
I need to watch this. Oh my God. So anyways, time for Raquel to walk out. Schwartz is popping Xanax. And
I have to say,
God,
I
hate that dude.
I hate him, but I'm grateful for him. Whenever he's on screen, I love it. Like, no one has ever taken conflict better. They're like, hey, piece of dog shit. And he's like, yeah, for sure. It's like, no one wants to talk to you here. Want to go in the corner? Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm, I'm like, mm-hmm. I love this man. When he pulled out the Xanax, let me just say this.
Mm-hmm.
I have a similar prescription.
Okay.
That is not something you take. You've got to get a 20-minute run on it.
Before, okay? Right? Not right before she's about to walk out.
It doesn't work like that. No. When they showed us the preview where, like, later on he's, mm-hmm. like, his head's in his hands, I'm like, okay, now the Xanax is hit. Because you've got to time it. Like, you can't, like, it takes a minute to hit your system. It is rapid mm-hmm. release, but you still want like 20 minutes.
It takes time. Yeah. Oh my God.
Because I take it to fly and listen.
Okay.
You know, I got to time it out.
You're in the gate. I got 20 minutes to go.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He popped the Xanax as she was walking out. Like,
as she's walking out. I can't.
But and I will say, such an illuminating moment is Sandoval mm-hmm. being like, here's what you can say about your medication. Meanwhile, Schwartz is like, I'll throw it across the womb. I love them. I love them.
Tweedledee and Tweedle fucking Dum. I can't.
Give
with
them
those
a baby
losers.
On a reality show spinoff and let us watch God. Them raise it. Like, I
raise
beg
the
you.
Child. Oh, God.
Not a real child. Give them like a robot child. Like, I want to yes. see it.
Jesus. So Raquel walks out. I'm not gonna lie, I love this little minty off the shoulder.
Ooh, I hate it. I do
you
not
hated
think-
it
okay
I love this I when love the you- color
oh no I hated it because I didn't hate it as a dress. I hated it because if you were Ariana, come out, you have been you are the woman scorned, right? And you yes. come out in that red dress, I go, yes, that is yes. the dress you wear in yes. this situation. Mm-hmm. When you are the mistress who yeah. fucked everyone over, yeah. I don't what think should, that's your look.
What should she wear? What should she wear in that?
I think she
case.
Needed. To
I definitely
be,
agree. I hear you.
I think she needed. I think she needed something covering the clavicle because someone covering there might all. Be a fight. So we gotta get, like, you know, cover. Yeah. I just like, I don't need a high neck, but I need like skin covered and
modesty.
Then, like,
yeah.
And then you want to, I don't know. I almost wanted like a long form fitting dress similar to maybe Lala's, even without the pattern. I just don't think, I don't think you want to come on as like a sweet girl.
Yeah. She was trying to put on. She was trying to lean into, I'm Raquel, remember guys, a little minty green. I'm sweet. Yeah. I'm not threatening, you know?
Yes.
This color's not threatening. Yeah. I hear you. And that was the episode. So we'll have to wait till next week for.
Okay, I just have one question for you. When they yes. ask him if he loves her, what do you think he's going to say next week?
Oh, God. Well, we're going to sit through a 10-minute pregnant silence for no fucking reason, as he does. And I think he's going to be a bumbling idiot. I think he's so afraid of Ariana. I don't think he's going to say yes.
Yeah.
Just her look alone, he's like afraid of getting any type of wrath from her. So I think it would be in his best interest to not say yes. What do you think?
I think he's going to say yes because his whole breakup tactic with Ariana was to be like, we have a special connection. And she's like, no, you don't. He's like, yes, we do. So like, I
think,
that's
true.
And I also think if he says no, he's going to lose Raquel.
Yeah, he's or trying to hang on to this. Oh God!
What else does he have?
I know, that's true. They only got each other.
They are both Jesus. The piece of wood floating in the waters after the Titanic
hanging
crash.
On by
neither
thread,
of them,
for
Rose
real.
Or Leo. They're just two pieces of wood, and like this is all they got. You know? Yeah, and I think he better honestly. Like, this is so ridiculous. Even if it's a lie, but like, if you don't say yes, then what was it for? What was it for?
Yeah, I know. They got to give call. They got to give reason for the cause of all of this. Just
I want to see a wedding next
they
season.
Created.
Okay, I want to see a toxic wedding. I want them to live in what I want to live in that
this,
mess. Sign the paperwork.
This poison. I know. God. So Chelsea, I have to ask, did you learn anything this episode? Are you gathering anything? Are you walking away learning anything from these degenerates?
I actually love this show and Real Housewives because I actually learn a lot about how to face conflict. Because I even though I'm like a very like loud, outgoing person, mm-hmm. I'm different with conflict. I really hate it. Mm. And I like just watching people stand in the fire and take it or dish it and return the next day after something I think is unspeakable has happened kind of gives me strength where I'm like, you really can, you can really walk face through it. Anything.
Yeah.
Cause these dummies are, you know, so I feel like I learned that. And I also learned, like, I think what you said is like low self-esteem can take vicious forms. Low self-esteem is actually very outgoing.
I think that's what I'm walking away from. Just watching just all of these people on the stage. I mean, obviously the biggest players, Sandoval, Raquel and Ariana, just seeing them at this point, it had to be low self-esteem, some self-hatred, some, you know, desperate need for a self-love journey for all of them. But instead we've watched them sit in terrible relationships, find love in the wrong places. And I think it's such a testament to like how important it is to just spend time with yourself. I know it's so cheesy, but like being by yourself and doing that work with yourself, which none of these people have done. I mean, Raquel broke up with James and then 2 seconds later was in a 7-month affair. Like, that's so sad and wild. And that just takes a deep level of just like low self-esteem that she just didn't really have. So, Anyways, next week we'll be back after the reunion. Apparently the last 5 minutes, there's some big reveal that's going to happen.
The wedding. No.
Do you have any theories? Have you been reading online? Like any theories of what you think they're going to drop on us next week?
No. And this maybe makes me a dork. I don't like reading theories online because I love watching it. I love watching it. And I just want it to wash over me in the moment. I don't have a theory. I don't have a theory, but I hope they're engaged.
I mean, honestly, they're saying whatever the reveal is, it's going to make people question whether they want to sign the contract and come back for next season. So I think it has to be something monumental.
Is it like someone's this. Coming back? Is Stassi back?
That's one of the theories that Jax is somebody from the past coming back. This new theory, I have not heard this, them getting engaged. That could definitely do it.
That's not a real theory. That's just me being twisted.
I think it could be Raquel confirming that she's coming back.
Yeah, I definitely think that could be it. Yeah.
That could definitely be it. So we will have to wait and see. Thank you so much, Chelsea. This was so fun.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking to you guys. Your episode of The Video Vixen on my podcast is coming out this month. I cannot wait. You and Justine were so funny. and that's dropping really soon. So
Where can people find you? Tell us about the podcast a little bit. Where can they find you online?
Yes. Come find me on Instagram at Chelsea Devantes. I have a book podcast but it's a juicy book podcast. And I like recap it in my Instagram stories before I even do the episodes. And I post like pictures from it. And then, we talk about female celebrity memoirs. We recap them. We dish on them. We relate them to our lives. I also do some glamorous trash talk episodes where I talk about, I go high and low. I talked about how The Bachelor has predicted our last political elections and will predict all our future ones. So if you're into some, I really go for the gold.
High and low. I love this.
By the way, I'm so glad you guys are coming back for charity. I'm thrilled. Thank God you'll be here.
Yeah, we couldn't leave her high and dry. So
you can't do that. She's going to give it her all.
She is, yes. Everybody, check out Chelsea and the Celebrity Book Club podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Justine and I will be back next week for part 3. We're going to take us home, y'all, and talk about whatever this big reveal is that they have. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose, and we'll see you guys next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.